Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and I am in the apartment of Mrs. Margaret Yerkes Holden at 17383 Garfield Drive in Presbyterian Village. And
Drive, isn't it Avenue?
It's Avenue. Yeah, here it is. 17383 Garfield Avenue at the Presbyterian Village. And she has graciously allowed me to interview her concerning her life and the time that she spent in Northville. Mrs. Holden, I see here by the data sheet that you've lived in Northville from 1905 to 1921. That was 16 years. And you are a member of the Yerkes family.
Correct.
Can you tell me a little bit about your grandfather? He was one of the original settlers, right?
My grandfather was Robert Yerkes. Mm-hmm. He had no middle initial. He was just Robert Yerkes. And he and grandmother moved to that residence.
What was her name? Do you remember?
What was her name?
Yeah.
Sarah Holmes.
Okay.
And her brother lived out Northville. Mm-hmm. I have something along to him that you might be interested in that I just found. Lived on the farm out baseline west of Northville.
West of Northville, more towards Farmington? Or?
No. No. It was out farther out to the other side of
west.
Northville.
East is from
no, west.
West, okay.
And we moved there from Milford in 1905. I think it was March 1905. Because my grandfather and grandmother, my grandmother particularly, was ill, and someone had to go and live with a family. And there were three other brothers, but father was the only one who could give up everything and move there. So we moved to the farm with a carload, and I mean a carload, of furniture into a home that was completely furnished.
Is that right?
And I can remember our bedroom, the three of us had to sleep in the one bedroom, and the smallest sister was a baby, and so she wasn't there. And there were dressers and commodes all around the room.
Oh. Now, that house on Baseline Road, is that the one that sister Ruth...
That's a historical home.
Okay, your sister Ruth, the one that she lives in, that's not the one we're talking about, are we?
Yes.
Oh, we are.
That's
okay,
the one.
On Baseline.
Yes, that's the one.
All right.
That's the one.
So your sister Ruth Berkman and her husband Jim live in that home now.
Yes. They went back to live there. They lived in Northville, but then they moved back when it became necessary for mother to have someone in the house.
So you lived there with your two sisters, your mom and dad. Were there any
and
other...
And a brother.
And your...
We had one brother, Donald Purdy, Jr. And my father was Donald Purdy, and then we had one brother, Donald Purdy, Jr. And then we had lost a little sister before we went to Northville. She was only five.
What did she die from, do you remember? At all?
I better not say, because I'm not sure.
Okay.
It was something like spinal meningitis or something like that. That was, you know, they didn't know what to do for it in those days.
It wasn't like an epidemic. People had the same.
No, we had, when we lived in Milford, we had a very bad scarlet fever epidemic. And one or two of my childhood playmates in my room at school died. And that was a tragedy. For children, but we seemed to escape. And
it looks like you were about 11 years old then when you came to Northville.
About
11.
12.
Did you?
We came in March, and I was 12 in September. Yes, I was 11 years old.
Did you live with, like, when you came to live in that house on Baseline? did you come to, was that, you were the only family in there? You and your mom?
With
and
mother and grandfather.
Oh, with your mother and grandfather.
Yes, mother and grandfather. Grandfather and grandmother.
Right, okay. So that was would have been Robert.
After we had lived there, I don't remember just recall when, but there was a downstairs bedroom, which grandfather and grandmother immediately took. And then later, we built on a room so that the bedroom was turned into a little library or sitting room for them, and they'd have their own room where they could get away from things, mm-hmm. and the bedroom, and there was only one bath on the first, well, we had a bath put in on the first floor at that time, because there was nothing but an outside toilet, and we had the bath built on, and the only place we could have it, there was a closet that went off the dining room. And that was made, it was pretty good size. It was more like a little sewing room, but it was small. But part of that was made into a bathroom for downstairs. It was right off the dining room. It wasn't a very good spot. But grandfather and grandmother could come in the back door and
have privacy in a way.
Yes, yeah. And that was, so that was a great help to have that. You had to go out in all kinds of weather.
Mrs. Yerkes, Mrs. Holden, would you kindly tell me the names of your sisters and your brother again?
Yes. Aletha was 5 years younger than I, and Ruth is 10 years younger.
And Donald is?
And Donald came between Aletha and I. Mm-hmm. And then we lost a little sister before we moved to Northville. Mm-hmm. And
that
was
about her
Donna Lucille. And
It was a farm.
She was 5 years old when she passed away.
Yeah.
If you wanted to get acquainted with the family are hanging on the wall back there.
Oh, and the pictures, great. I'll have to. What is the question? You went to school then in Northville, right?
So oh, yes. The Northville Public Schools. We had to walk one. It was exactly a mile from our house to the schoolhouse.
Is that where is right now the Main Street School? It's like
yes.
A mile back and forth mm-hmm. or a mile there? A mile there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And do you recall it having burned down once, or was that before or after you were going to school there?
I recall it, but I think it was after I went there. And I don't think that the new building was built. I think I graduated from high school in 1912, and I don't think the new building had been built yet. And later, that was the high school, but when I was there, there was just the one building. And then there was a house across the street on the corner, a large home that was used for kindergarten. And later, that was where Dr. Turner lived. He was one of the general practitioners there.
Did you ever know, well, this is just a recent Dr. Atchison?
Well, he came much later.
Okay.
There was the two Dr. Henrys, brothers, Dr. Tom and Dr. Dan Henry. And then Dr. Holcomb lived in Novi, and sometimes if needed, he could come down. And then there was a Dr. Burgess. But he didn't make house calls or anything. Lived right on Main Street. Well, it was the first house next to the stores. There were two drug stores, and he was in the first house right next there on Main Street, on the south, or on the east end of Main Street.
Do you recall Oh, the band shell. Or what did you do? Can I ask you what you did for fun when you were in high school or in, you know, grade school?
Oh, we had, we played basketball. They had, there was a girls' basketball team. And so we played basketball. And we played tennis. And we went on sleigh rides in the wintertime.
Do you recall the toboggan run?
Where
the skiers had their...
Yes, on Butler's Hill. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And my father was very unhappy about that. He didn't like to have us do that at all because a friend of Aletha's, Dorothy DeBar, was sliding down, and they jumped out of the track. We had to have ice tracks, jumped out of the track and hit a tree, and her leg was broken. But we could start at the top of Buckner's Hill, mm-hmm, and go down, and then go right down Main Street, clear to, almost to the depot. A long walk back, pulling this toboggan. And this, I've forgotten to whom the toboggan belonged, but it was the longest one. I think, at least 8 of us could get on it. But that was great fun. Great fun. Then in high school, it was the time of Halley's Comet, when I was a senior, and our English teacher, Helen Pearl Bullis, was very interested in astrology, and she studied up about the comet. So she would take us up on top of Buckner's Hill for a comet party in the evening. And we would just view it, and she'd talk about it. It was really very exciting.
So you got to see it then?
Yes, yes. I remember just an episode of this. Father and I were walking home from choir practice one night, and I was trying to show him the comet, and talking about it, and we came to the end of the walk, and it dropped right off into a ditch.
Oh, no! Because you were looking at the comet?
We both went headlong. It's a wonder neither one of us were hurt, but we got up and brushed ourselves off. We said, we won't tell Mother about this. Oh, and I was going to tell you one episode about Aletha. It was funny. Mother and Father had gone out to call on Mr. and Mrs. Etherly, who lived in that large house up there on the baseline, where the road comes around and you can go down to the cider mill.
Okay.
And they lived there. They built that and lived there before my uncle bought it and lived there. Well, anyway, they went up to call on the Ethelis one night. And I was out on a date. And Aletha was home. But she... had gone to sleep on the davenport in the living room, and Mother and Father, nobody ever locked a door, so Mother and Father didn't take a key or anything. The door was always open, and last one in locked the door. Well, evidently my brother had come in and locked the door and didn't know that Mother and Father were out or something. Mm-hmm. So they tried to wake and wake them, and they pounded right by her head, and she just couldn't do it.
She couldn't wake up.
They finally got her up to open the door. Another time, she went to sleep in the bathtub.
Oh dear!
And we had a terrible time. And the door that went into grandfather, or that went into a little hallway. And then in the door into grandfather and grandmother's room. And that door was, she locked both doors. And there was a transom over that one. And father got up on the ladder, and he was so embarrassed. He was just embarrassed to death. Couldn't hardly stand it. But Mother kept telling him what he had to do, what he had to do. And he got, and he pried the transom open and took a feather duster and put it on the end of a broom and tickled her with it.
Oh, to wake her up.
She finally woke up so startled. Oh, dear, I well remember that. And I remember another time when Alif and I had both been out on a date. And we got home and the door was locked. And there was just, oh, we couldn't think of waking Mother and Father up because I think we'd been up to Wall Bay dancing. And it was pretty late. And, well, I say pretty late. It was after 12. For young people, that was pretty late. And so we didn't know how in the world we were going to get in. And because we just didn't want to disturb them. So we said we just have to try to wake Donald up. Well, he was in the bedroom at the front of the house. And it was in an early fall. So you still had your window open, probably maybe August or September. But the windows open. But we used to slip screens. We didn't have the windows all screened in those days. And so we went to the driveway and got some gravel, threw it up against the screen, and threw it. And finally, Donald got up, and he came to the window and he said, "Look out below, I'm going to shoot." And we knew he had a gun. There we are.
Well, now you said something about being on a date up at Wald Lake. I know you and I talked about that before, and I wonder if you wouldn't like to share with us in this project some of the things that you did when you went out on a date. You know, what was the date?
We did have a movie in Northville, and when I was in high school, one of the boys in my class played the piano. Of course, they were silent films, and he was a great big tall fellow, about 6 feet, and he would sit there and watch the movie, and he'd play faster and faster.
And what was the movie theater called? Was it the opera? It wasn't the opera house.
It was right at the next door to the opera house, right on the corner. Mm-hmm. And so we'd go to the movies. We roller skated.
At the Princess Rink?
At the rink. And one of my friends lived, they had the bakery in the right next to the pool hall. There, where the rink was, and they were upstairs, and she would wait until she heard the music, and then she'd come downstairs, and the rink was at the back, and it backed right up to my grandmother McRoberts' property, and so we could always hear the music from her house, and so we had roller skating, and then there was when Donald and Aletha were in high school, a teacher came out from Detroit, from one of the best dancing schools, and I can't recall the name. Aletha probably remember it, but I can't recall the name of the dancing school, and taught dancing. And Aletha and Donald both took dancing lessons. I never took dancing lessons, but they had dancing lessons, and Mother used to chaperone. She always had it. She loved it. And so that was, that took up some evenings. Of course, we had no television. And in the winter, we went tobogganing, and we went on sleigh ride parties. And sometimes we went on sleigh ride parties. We'd go up to Salem and back. Mm-hmm. And in the summertime, we went to Wall Lake swimming. And then there was a creek that ran through the farm that was an outlet of Walt Lake. And Father conceived the idea of damming up the widest spot and making the swimming hole for us. And then he took some tall boards, about 6 feet tall, and put them around a little group of trees so that we had a dressing room.
Oh!
So we'd go down there for a dip, and that was fun. And then in the summertime, we had cornrows down by the creek. Father would go down and build up a great big fire, and then we'd light it in the evening and go down and have a corn roast. And that was great fun. Oh, nothing tasted better than that corn and the hamburgers we'd cook and the hot dogs and have a regular picnic. Mm-hmm. And we had to cross the creek to do that. Mm-hmm. So Father just made one wide board with a handrail so that we could go across to the other side. Otherwise, we had to wade across. Mm-hmm. So, when Ruth was little, she didn't like to go in the creek because there were little stone crabs about that long, and they would dart under the stone.
Little crabs.
Huh? She was scared to death. They'd get her toes.
They were about, you intimated, about 2 or 3 inches?
2 or 3 inches long.
Did people ever catch them to eat?
She didn't like them. Oh, no.
No.
And once in a while, we'd see a little garter snake. Mm-hmm. And that was great. I didn't like garter snake.
So you went up to Wald Lake to dance?
We went up to dance.
What was the name of the place?
Well, I have no idea. I don't remember whether it was over a hotel or what the dance was. It had a spring floor. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ever danced on a spring floor, it's a weird sensation.
Really?
Oh. You feel like the floor is coming up to meet you. But I don't know how it was built or anything like that, but I just heard that it was a spring floor. And as I said, we went up. Father's cousin had a cottage up there, and so we could go up and use the frontage and go for a swim. And my uncle, Father's oldest brother, he was just great. They had no children, but he just was the greatest teacher I have ever known, really. He went to Ypsilanti Normal, and he taught us how to taught me how to dance. He and Aunt Helen gave dancing lessons, and then after she passed away, I was his partner. And
weren't those the dances you went to in the Moose Hall?
Yes, and in the Mason.
The Mason Hall.
The Mason.
Above, like, Williamsburg.
Above the drugstore there at the end of the big event of the year was the Masonic Dance. And that was always given on the 22nd of February. Mm-hmm. And that was a very special event. And then the KPs had a dance.
What's that?
The Knights of Pythias or something. It's not an organization. I don't know, kind of like the Masons or something. And they had a dance, and I don't remember what their special date was, but those two were the big dances of the season.
And your uncle's name was what?
William.
Uncle. Okay, William Yerkes.
William H. Yerkes. And as I say, they had no children, but he taught us how to play bridge, because they gave bridge lessons, and he taught me how to play bridge. And then, as I said, after Aunt Helen passed away, I was his partner in bridge, and he went to choir practice, and skating, ice skating on the mill pond. Mm-hmm. And
Did you ever go to the Opera House?
Oh, when traveling shows would come. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother and Robert lived in the back end of the Opera House. Mm-hmm. And she had some extra rooms. So very often she would house the troupe.
Uh-huh.
And because there were two hotels. There was the old Exchange Hotel, which is, I remember, was on the corner of Main, and we called it Wheelbarrow Avenue. I don't know whether, what it's called today. It's the street that runs, well, it's almost runs into the Presbyterian Church. It dead ends there.
Oh, like Mary Alexander Court? Is that the one you think of?
No.
No.
No, it's not that far away. No, it's not that end of town. It started right there across from Presbyterian Church. Mm-hmm. And went right straight and then way down the hill. I don't know why they called it Wheelbarrow.
Horton?
And ended.
Is that Horton or Dunton? No, not Dunton.
Well, maybe that's Horton.
Horton.
I guess so.
There's
so.
Light there now.
Yeah.
The corner of Main and.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then it just drops off into a. Dunlap. It crosses Dunlap.
Yeah, that's Horton.
Yeah,
that's
Horton.
And well, then it goes down. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know what I was talking about.
Oh, there was a hotel.
Oh, yes, the Exchange Hotel was on that corner across from the church.
Oh, okay.
The old Exchange Hotel. And then later there was the Ambler House, mm-hmm. which was up on the corner of Main and in center.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so that, but the visiting troupe were thinking. At one time, I have no idea what they were playing, but one of the couples in the cast were married on stage. And there was a little boy, somebody in the troupe had a little boy who was about my age. His name was Teddy. And so we were he was the ring bearer, and I was the flower girl on stage, if you can imagine. Oh, I had.
So you acted in their play?
Yes.
Oh!
I had this very fancy dress. I have a picture someplace. And what to wear for slippers. And, you know, I didn't have, usually girls didn't have anything but high button shoes. And so my aunt found some silver paper and made me silver slippers. So I had these silver slippers and a little organdy dress. And it seems to me she put some silver stars on it or something, fixed all up, so I was very fancy. My hair had to be done up in curlers so that I had curls. And and he gave me a ring, and I still have it.
Oh, do.
It's a little gold ring with a pearl that's about as big as the head of a pin in it. When I wore that ring.
Was he like a boyfriend?
I wore that. I was engaged.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. But that was a very nice family. And they came back and cheered and put on play.
So
and then when I was a junior in high school, we gave our junior play there in the Opera House, and our senior play. And
was it fancy inside? Did it have a big chandelier inside? Can you describe it? Do you know?
Still was
it a popular place for people to go and see plays?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They always had good chandeliers. Mm-hmm. I haven't any idea what they're idea about the capacity, how big it was. It didn't seem very big. But it was, and that was where the movies were.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the movies were in
the. Well, no, the movies were in a, it was, the movies were right on the corner.
Uh-huh. That was a movie theater.
Right on the corner next to the theater. Because, as I remember, the Opera House, you had to go up. The doors, double doors open down the street level, and you had to go up some steps and mm-hmm. into that.
Because there was some other shops in the bottom part of the store level.
Oh, yes, there were on both sides. There was a there was a... grocery store in there somewhere.
Was the princess rink was just behind it, like...
It was back of a pool hall, I think. Mm-hmm. There was a pool hall and a bakery. The Northfield State Savings Bank. And then there was an alley, and through this back of the bank, there was a croquet set there, mm-hmm. and the older man used to go back there and play croquet. And they had benches, and they would play croquet all afternoon, and they used the sharp mallets.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, they had a wonderful time. And that was right back at my Grandma McRobert's. We could go out there and stand and watch them through the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Cattermole built a shoe factory back in there. Mm-hmm. It was back of the property next to my grandmother, and it went along to the west. Quite a long, low building. Mm-hmm. And one night there was a fire in the shoe factory, and that was really exciting. Mm-hmm. I don't remember why I got up. I was staying overnight with my grandparents. And for some reason or other, I must have got up for a bedroom or something, but I looked out the window and I thought I saw a fire in flickers in this building.
Mm-hmm.
And I called my grandfather, and he got up and looked and turned in the fire alarm.
Oh.
But before the fire department got there, it was ablaze. It just all of a sudden, it just like exploded. It was ablaze. And I called my father on the telephone, and he came on the run. He ran, he said, the whole distance, the mile up to the house to get the hose out and get up on the roof and keep the roof soaked so the sparks flying wouldn't burn the house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he worked so hard. That was a wild, wild night. The inside of the building, well, the roof was gone, and it was...
Did they ever rebuild it?
I don't think so. But that was a very exciting fire. And my father and a brother owned the flour mill, and my father always worried about a fire. And, of course, on the farm, we always worried about a fire.
Uh-huh.
And because the railroad, the Pier Marquette Railroad from Detroit to Saginaw, cut the farm right in two. And Father was always worried about tramps sneaking up and sleeping in the barn.
Oh, yeah.
And smoking.
Oh, yeah.
And with the new mown hay.
Oh, yeah.
Always a danger of fire. So, yeah, always had that to worry about.
Now you're talking about the house on Baseline.
Yes.
When it was, that was farmland. Yeah.
But with Mother was always feeding the tramps.
Did they work on the farm sometimes?
No,
harvest time,
no, but think? They would come up and ask for a handout.
Uh-huh.
That's all. They didn't have any place to sleep and didn't have any food and didn't have any money. And so they would come up. And one time, I can remember so well, Father always went hunting, small game. He never hunted deer, but he always hunted small thing. And he had a bird dog. And Old Sport was a good watchdog, too. Guarded us. Went to school with Donald every morning when he started kindergarten. Walked right beside him. Went up to school. Stayed on the school grounds and took him home again.
Is that right?
And when Aletha would go, Mother would send her down to the market to get the meat. 25 cents worth of beefsteak or something. And Sport would go with her. If anybody came up and spoke to her, Sport would get right between them. Very protective.
Wonderful.
And this tramp came to the door, and so Mother said she would give him a sandwich. So she closed the door and made the sandwich for him. And when she started to hand it out to him, he grabbed her wrist. That dog was lying in the corner.
Oh.
and gave one leap over to that door and started to get out of the door. And boy, did he turn. He didn't even wait for his sandwich. He just went. That was the only time I remember when he really came to the rescue. But he wouldn't let anybody touch any of us. He was a wonderful watchdog, just wonderful.
What type of dog was it?
Probably, it was a short-haired dog. I've forgotten whether Father called it an English setter or some kind of a setter.
Okay.
Short hair, brown and white.
Oh.
Some brown patches and little brown spots on him.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful dog. I was going to get out my old Kodak book, see if there was any pictures that I don't know whether it's available.
What I've done with it. Mrs. Holden has let me see a book that was printed in 1904 by, Charles Tyson Yerkes, who was a millionaire that lived in Chicago. That was what,
a distant relative.
And the book is a chronicle of the Yerkes family with notes on the Leach and Reuter families.
We don't even know that.
Oh, and it's the copyright, let's see, it's the paper at the end. When you look at
Very
the end,
special.
It is handmade paper, and every four pages has a deckle edge. It's very gorgeous looking. So, let's see, 250 copies printed on paper, handmade for this edition. I'm reading in some of the beginning pages. The decorations were especially drawn for this volume by Edward Stratton Holloway and Emlyn McConnell. It's just a beautiful book.
There is
there
a picture.
233.
A picture in there.
260 pages with an index of names in it, and it's probably a 10 by 12 inch hardcover book. It's gorgeous. Just gorgeous. And she received this copy from a cousin. And there's a picture of the Yerkes brothers. Okay, there's Charles Yerkes, Silas Allen Yerkes, George Yerkes, Jonas, Joseph Dennis Yerkes, William Purdy Yerkes, that's your oldest uncle, right? Harrison Yerkes and Robert Yerkes, that's your dad.
Yeah.
And now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's seven brothers. And these were the seven Yerkes.
Those are the seven brothers.
That came
that
to
came
this area.
From New York State.
Yeah. They all have beards.
Uncle George. I can't even remember which is Uncle George now. I think it's this one.
That's Charles. Wait a minute. George is in the middle at the top. Yeah.
Oh, this one. He lived in Grand Junction, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always a great occasion when he came to visit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it is a book of genealogy, I see, as I look through it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Oh, now here's an old newspaper
from
the Northville Record, Novi News, Thursday, September 19th, 1974. Third generation family occupies historic home, and it's about the home on Old Baseline Road. Sure. Mr. and Mrs. John Berkman are just moving in, and so it's a little...
And there's a picture.
Yeah, there's a picture of that home. Oh, gosh. What a wonderful book to have.
Oh,
what
treasure.
What a wonderful book to have.
I really treasure it.
Yeah. Now, you left Northville in 1921. Is that when you got married? Is that when you were married?
Yes.
Yeah. And you moved away?
In Detroit.
To Detroit, okay.
Mm-hmm. We lived in North Rochelle Park.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm... so glad to have had this chance to talk with you.
Well,
again,
I've jabbered on and on.
Is there anything else you'd like to say? Any story you'd like to, remember Northville with? Anything that really impressed you? That comes to mind. Say,
we always had a wonderful church life. Father was an elder in the church, and Mother was a trustee.
Now, which church was it?
from the Presbyterian. And the Christian Endeavor was always a must. I always went to Christian Endeavor on Sunday night. And then sometimes we would, there was a family moved to Northville, the Bryan family, and they lived out on Baseline Road in that stone house, which is now a historic home, out east. And they had an orchard, and they had they grew tomatoes and took them to the Eastern Market. And there were two sons, Carl and Philip. And Philip and I dated for a long time. And Carl married my Alma College roommate. And Sunday night, we would we'd go home with them. And their mother was a wonderful pianist, and she coached the choir and did all kinds of things. And she'd sit on the piano. We would sing around the piano. And then we'd have supper. Sometimes we'd make fudge. And it was just, there'd be quite a group of us. And there'd be at least six young people there. Mm-hmm. And so that was all a very, very special thing that we did.
What was their last name again?
Bryan, B-R-Y-A-N. Carl and Philip Bryan.
Did you ever go on the streetcars and the
interurban? Oh, yes. That's the only way we could get to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And Uncle George was a lawyer and lived in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And so we used to go in and maybe spend a week at Aunt Jenny's.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two children, and Fanny died. She and Donna were very near of an age, and they both died. Fanny had scarlet fever,
mm-hmm.
and died. And then there was Robert, and Robert and Donald were very near of an age, and they were just wonderful, and they liked to have me come in because I could do more with Bob than they could.
Uh-huh.
And he was incorrigible. He would, when he came out of the farm, he'd chase the pigs and chase the chickens and do all kinds of things. I don't think it's better to be on the tape.
Oh, that's awesome. This is charming.
We were his car, but as I say, I could do more with him than his parents could.
Mm-hmm.
But and his mother had a, an electric car. Just one of those small single-seated cars, and she drove all around. That was her car. And but if I was there, she would let Bob drive it. And she would say, "Now remember, stay off Woodward Avenue." And that was the first thing he would do. He'd go right and drive right down to the river. And they lived on Kirby. Their home was first they lived on Second Avenue, and then they built this home on Kirby, just off of Woodward, and we drive right down to the river back.
Mm-hmm.
He loved to drive that car.
Oh,
he just thought that was just great. And they wanted him to go on the Detroit Teachers Easter excursion. Every year, the Detroit Teachers went to Washington, and they were gone for a week. And they thought it would be very good for Bob if a chance to be with people, older people. So they said that if mother and father would let me go with him to kind of chaperone him, he's 16, they thought it would be a good idea. So we both went to Washington, and that was a marvelous trip. There was a very attractive young man who was a principal in one of the schools, and he looked out for me and saw that nothing happened to me. And Bob and I had a section on the train. And when we would be going at night, he was so fascinated watching out through his window. He slept in the upper bunk that he would kick. He would come to the edge of the bed and kick down and hit my nose. And I would wake up. He'd say, look out the window, Marmy. Look out the window quickly. He always called me Marmy. So I'd look out. One time it was, we were in Pittsburgh in the steel mills and the sky was all lighted and it was exciting. So we had a great time on that trip. And there was a Mrs. Van Duse and her two sons from Palmer Park were on the trip. And they were wonderful. And the three boys liked to be together. So we took a trip on the Potomac River and visited the White House. And I wore long white kid gloves and we shook hands with the president.
Oh!
And it was all very, very exciting.
Do you remember what president it was?
Would it have been Wilson? I'd have to look it up. Might have been Wilson. Oh, I think it was about 1913. I think it was Wilson.
That was the year after you graduated.
Out of high school.
Yeah.
Because I was staying home that year. Mother hadn't been well at all. She had a heart condition. I was staying home. Mm-hmm. I think that's this was a kind of a reward for all the service that I had been doing. And I worked in the Northville Bank, the Northville Savings Bank. I worked for a year after I got out of high school.